Okay, we are picking up from the very top line, the first words, HaOmer L'Chaveiro, on top of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Our learning is once again sponsored, Lu'ila Nishmas Shulal Mespas Yaakov, the Neshama Shenav Aliyah. We are continuing the citation from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, HaOmer L'Chaveiro V'chulei, let's just read the whole Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, HaOmer L'Chaveiro Beka Mem Vav Amud Aleph, HaOmer L'Chaveiro Konim L'Beischa Shani Nichnas V'Sadcha Shani Lokeach, Meis U'Osh Machlachar Mutar. So the Mishnah told us that if someone says a konam from entering your house or purchasing your field, and then the owner dies or he sells it to someone else, the madir is permitted to enter the house or to decide that he could buy the field. However, the Mishnah continues and it says, if the person is the lashon of konam by zesh ani nechna sada zush ani lokeach meis l'shemach l'achar aser. If a person says konam by entering this house or by purchasing specifically this field, then even if the owner dies or he sells it to somebody else, the madir is still usher to enter that house or to purchase the field. So says the Gemara, by Avime. Avime has a question. Konem labayit ze she'ata nichnas. If someone tells his friend, a konem from entering this house, that which he's ushering on his friend from entering this house, which he currently owns, the Gemara asks, what's the din? Meis oshem la'acher maho. If the person dies or he sells it to somebody else, what's the halacha? Since he says the lashon of bais zeh, this house, rather than my house, he's lechora telling us that he wants it to remain in force even after it leaves his possession. That's lechora what he meant. However, we have a shaila because Adam oser davar shebreshuso lechshit ritzo olo. Can a person have the ability to oser something that's currently in the possession even after if it's going to leave its possession afterwards or not? So that's a shaila. We know I can always be the madir and oser my property onto you. That's okay. Ravimi's question is whether or not you can answer it when it to the fact that it's going to remain in effect even after it's leaving my possession. Now, Lechora, the Mishnah was Beferish, right? So why isn't the Mishnah a Beferish Araya? Because in the Mishnah's case where the Madir prohibited himself the benefit of the property, that's clear that the Isser is going to remain effective even after that point. That's what's clear from the Mishnah. And then when he says this house, he declares the asr regardless of who owns it. However, when the madir is specifically asring another person the benefit of the property, maybe he doesn't have this koyach because this is going to asr it even after it leaves his possession is similar to reporting another person's property on somebody else. And that would be lechor the question over here. You can ask the same shayla if the madir said explicitly that the house is going to be asr while it's mine and after I die or sell it. That's going to be the same question as Avimi since the one who asrs it to his friend is considered, maybe it's going to be this house, maybe that would be something which should remain or not. That's the question. But the point is, the Mishnah is different fundamentally than Avimi's question. Obviously, he's not asking a Beferish Mishnah. So, Gemara Zamar Rava Tashma, we can learn it from the Mishnah Bava Kama. What does the Mishnah Bava Kama tell us? Ha'omer livno, konem shi'i ata da'anili. If someone says to his son, a konem, that you should not benefit from me. The Mishnah doesn't quote the entire Lashon, because lechora, this is a konem, you should say a nechasai, because that's my property. It has to be something, that's what the difference between a neder and a shvuah, is that this is a lashon of a, has to be on a cheftzah. It's a cheftzah, you have to say lechora, my property, nechasai, is aser to you. Other rishonim say, no, this actually is the lashon over there, and I, when you're making a lashon of a neder, lechora, in the way that you make a shvuah, so they bring a raya that this is an example, that this actually is going to be considered a yad for a neder, and it's going to be chal. Okay, that's machlokas, it's a shayla, Iran quotes his shitas over here. So the Gemara says, either way, so a person is saying, the point is that a person is making usher benefits of a mace and the guy dies. So lach is yershena, the son is allowed to inherit him and he's allowed to benefit from the property. Because, right, after his father dies, all he says is from me. Because he only wanted him to derive benefit while the father was alive. And therefore we have the regular din of Yerusha and he's allowed to inherit the son, the father. So the Gemara says, Vayter, quoting the Mishnah, what if the lashon of the father was the following? Bechayav uvimoso, if he declares that the property is going to be usher in his lifetime and after his death. So he says it's going to be during his lifetime and after his death. Umes, and now the guy dies. The lacha is lo yershenu, that the son would not inherit him in such a case. So what do we see? Shmamida adam oser davar shebersuso lechshet shebersuso. We see from over here, a person does have the ability to prohibit something that's currently in his possession even after it's leaving his possession. Right, so over here, the Mishnah's case is teaching us that when the father explicitly tells us that the neder is going to be effective during his lifetime and after his death, the son would not inherit him. So we could see from there that when a person is ushering this house upon himself, which means it should be ushered to him forever, it would remain in effect even after the person is making the neder hana. So That's the point of the Gemara. Now the Mishnah, it's important to note though, the Mishnah doesn't actually mean that the son does not inherit his father at all. That's the din d'oraisa, that we have the din of Yerusha. So it just means that the son is not permitted to derive benefit from the property in this case. So that would be the point over here, that it's obviously still inheriting him, but he's not allowed to derive benefit. So what can you do? So the Mishnah explains that you're allowed to, the person who inherited it is allowed to give it to his other family members, his brother, his son, or somebody else. If he has nothing to eat, he's allowed to borrow money, and the people who he borrowed money from can collect the money, that the debt that's owed to them, that's owed to them from this guy, from the estate. And that's you're not allowed to give it as a gift, obviously, but it just means that you're allowed to have this type of harama when you're stuck in this situation. So we see it is the guys. You're just not allowed to have benefit from it. This isn't considered having benefit from it. Because what you say is, you say, like, similar to what you see about the guy who's no derhana. And you say, anybody can come and take, and then you end up paying him back. Here are two similar. You could say, my father lost this property to me. I'm not going to do with it. So you could do what you please. Not considered a formal gift, but it's actually a type of hefker, and the person is collecting from hefker. Okay, that's the din that the Ran discusses at length over here. So fine, very good. That's what's going on. And the Gemara says, Shmami, now we have a raya that this is actually correct, that we conclude from here that you are allowed to asser it to the next person. If you remember, earlier, if you daf ago, daf ben bezim and bez, the Gemara had a very similar discussion. And it argued that maybe the reason that the father's neder is asser even after the father dies is because he specifically said that it's going to remain in effect b'chayai ovamosi, after my death. But if he would have just said that this property is konim to you, the Gemara over there said maybe that actually would be something which is only chal while he is alive. So the Gemara, apparently, from over here we see that eventually the Gemara over there also seemed to retract that, and therefore we have the maskana that we say over here, that even if you say specifically this property, even if you don't say b'mosi, that would be something which is going to remain in effect even after the guy dies, and apparently our Gemara is going with that maskana, that is going to be correct. The Muki Yosef points out one other important ha'ara, that even though someone is allowed to asser something that's currently in my possession, that it's going to remain in effect even after it leaves my possession. So right, Reuven says to his son that he doesn't want Shimon to inherit him even after he dies. That's right now. However, you can't make the neder that it's going to be chal lechadchila only after he dies. It says, Yekonim all my nechasim to you after I die. That would not be okay, the Muki Yosef points out. Only while it's in your possession, we have the reshus to do that, not afterwards. Okay, very good. So now the Gemara goes weiter. Tznan Hasim. We learned in the Mishnah, we're going to learn later on, Konem Peros Elu Alai. If a person says, these fruits are Konem to me, Konem Hein Al Pi, or they're Konem to my mouth. These are the Lashonos that Reuben is saying. Konem Elu Pi, or they're Konem to my mouth. Aser Bechilufein Ovegiduleim. Then the halacha is that he is Aser to derive benefit even from things that he decides to exchange them for, or things that that grow from them. Like if you exchanging is obvious. Like you sell them, you do things like that. That things that you sell for them is also going to be aser. The chiddush of the second point is even the seeds. If you then plant those seeds which come from that fruit, that's going to be aser like the fruits themselves, since the madir declared them a konem. It's similar to the lachas of hekdesh. The lach of hekdesh is even things that were exchanged or things that grow from hekdesh is aser like hekdesh. Then it follows the lachas by the neder of here also is going to remain aser. So that's what we're pointing out over here. Fine. The Ran just points out one more important ara, that if a person just says that the fruit, like strawberries are aser to me, you specify a specific fruit, then it's not going to be understood that every single thing is going to be like hekdesh himself. Rather, he's understood as only asering those strawberries themselves by eating the strawberries. However, if you would be allowed in such a case to benefit from exchanging them or from eating them. It's only when you specified what they were, that's when this Gemara takes effect. Oh, fine. So the Mishnah tells us, we're talking about this case where you made this, and you specified these fruits. So by Rabbi Bar Chama, has the following question based on this halacha. Amar konem peros ha'elu al ploni. A person said that these fruits are konem to Reuven, ma'o b'chalufayim. What's the halacha over there, where the Reuven himself is permitted to derive benefit from the things that were exchanged for them? As we're going to see, it's not clear the reason the Mishnah is halacha, what the reason of these fruits is going to answer, and now it's going to lead to whether or not we understand the hemshech about somebody else. So, says the Gemara, what's the two tzadim? Mi armina, on the one hand, we could say, gabi delay, in the case where the madir himself says that certain fruits are usher upon himself, the halacha is, that's going to include even things that grow from it, even things that exchange from it. Why? That's because, just like I can usher my friend from eating my fruit, so too, Adam Oser Davar Shalobala Olam Al Atzmo. I can also ask for something that has not yet come into being upon myself, since the item that one is forbidding upon himself does not have to be in his possession. So therefore you can understand that it also does not need to be in existence at the time of the neder. So that's like, you can't affect the kinyan on something that's not yet in existence. For example, that's a classic example, right? You can't be makna davar shalaba olam. I can't sell you fruit that's going to grow next year. So the halacha is that also one cannot sell something not in her possession. I can't say I'm going to buy this field tomorrow, I'm going to sell it to you for X amount of money. Will you do that? Halachically, that does not have any bearing. So when the guards to neder that you're making on yourself, the ownership of an item is not necessarily going to be as important as opposed to a kinyan. Because since a person has bailus over himself, it's unnecessarily for him to have bailus over the item that he's asering. So that's why you're able to aser something that you could aser the benefit of your that's why you're able to aser your friend's property to you. For the same reason one can aser himself to the benefit of seemingly property that's not even there, that's going to come later on, that's the din over there. So what's the point over there? So even though the items eventually received in exchange for the fruits and not yet bala olam, because you don't know what they're going to be, you don't even know what you're selling them for, so therefore the madir still has the koyach because it's on himself, and therefore, since it's only on himself, the neder would include even things that are low davar be'olam. That is what the first side of this chakira, and therefore it should not apply. Gabe chavero, in the case where it comes to his friend, his neder is not going to apply to things that's not davar shel bala olam. Because ho'el ve'ein adam oser peros chavero al chavero, because the parallel case would be that I can't aser my friend's fruit on himself. It's his fruit. So therefore also, right, ein adam madir davar sheino shelo, I can't be madir something on himself. Ein adam oser davar shelo ba'olam al chavero. So similarly, since I don't have bailus over that, I would also, the parallel case should be that I should not be able to aser something which has not yet come into the world on his friend for me. If I tell him that I'm not gonna aser something which I exchange, and that's considered davar shelo bala olam at that time of the neder, and therefore I don't have the koach to be able to aser that onto him because it's his property at the end of the day, it's regards to him as opposed to me, and therefore the neder cannot make it aser to him, even though eventually it's something that will come. Still, my bailus over that neder does not have that koach. So therefore, if we assume that the Mishnah's case, the Itzer, is extending to exchange items because the Madir intended to include them, we have to include that this is going to be only when he made the neder on himself, but not when he made it on his friend. L'chora, that's what we could bring Araya for. That was the first side of this Chakira. So it says the Gemara, Dilma, turning on to the next topic. Now, maybe that's not the case where the Madir Asar specifies things upon himself. The reason that his Asar includes even things that you're Machlif is because Mishom Dechalufin Kegedulin Dami. Because things that you're exchanging for Isser items are halachically considered like the things that are growing from them. Maybe there's a special takana derabanan that whenever someone sells or exchanges items for things which are Asr derived benefit, the money of that object is going to also remain Asr halachically, and then it shouldn't matter loshnahu veloshna chavero. Then it wouldn't matter in that case whether or not the neder was on yourself or it's on your friend. For even in the second case, something which is going to be exchanged is a din derabanan, and that would be included in the neder, and therefore mi derabanan would be asr. So that is that's a very interesting point over here. There's important things we have to clarify though about this case over here. Firstly, it's clearly asr in the first place for a person to do this. Because we're not allowed to sell things that are like orla. I'm not allowed to sell orla to somebody else. That's clearly asr. So therefore, the one who took the neder upon himself and asr's a friend, he's not allowed to exchange it lechachila. That's clear. Another ha'ara is that Rami Bar Chama asks his question in the context of nedarim, but the Gemara clearly is extending this to other cases. Like we're going to see about the exchanging orla and kiddushin. This halachic point is going to be important for Kol Shas, that's not just this one halacha over here about exchanging things which are be'etzem asr ba'na'ah. And a third important point is that if someone does in fact violate this din, and he does sell it to somebody else, so midaraisa, it's clear that it is mutter, that's clear. Because that chalufayim is not inherently asr, except when we have this by shvius, actually. Per shvius is one of the examples. If someone does schor per shvius, even chalufayim, chalufayim are asr, that is not going to be exchanged except for, and also avodah zarah, which I'm not even sure those din are darbanan or atarayta, but that's clear that we make this takana only with regards to himself as a penalty for his iser. Is he forbidden to derive benefit from it? That's the point. Fine. So the Mishnah that we're quoting over here is talking about specific fruits that he asered upon himself. Is he asered to derive benefit from these things in exchange for them also? So in this case, the iser is going to be daraisa, because by declaring a specific object to konem, it's like hektish, and therefore his neder is going to be maybe including even the things that you're exchanging for them for. That's the point of here. Therefore, maybe we're saying over here, in our case, Rami Bar Chama is not sure whether the Mishnah's case is usher based solely on the comparison to hektish, or whether there's something else as well. That's the shayla, according to the way the Ran fleshes this out. That's the point over here. Fine, so that's our question. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Acha Bar Min Yomi, Tashma, we can bring a raya from the Braisa. Ha'omer le'ishto konem sha'ani nehen elech. If someone says to his wife, a konem, that I'm benefiting to you, meaning he is konem to you, and therefore now that I benefit from me. So the Gemara says, so then, and he has to support her. A wife needs money, needs to support her. So it's very interesting. The Gemara in Ksuvas talks about this very case, because l'chora, every husband has a chiyuv. Deraisa Drabana, it's a shayla for Ksuba that was Machlokas, Rabbi Gamliel, we had an end of Mesechus Ksubas, if you remember, Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim, whether Ksuba is Deraisa Drabana, but either way, there's a chiyuv of Ksuba that a husband has to support his wife. That might be Lashon of Mizonos also, that's the Ksher Ksus V'ona. The Ksus, according to almost everybody, is Deraisa, whatever, there's a shayla down tonight, some old Drabana, but it's possible this is Deraisa to the husband to support his wife. And anyway, so now, where the husband made an Isser Neder, lachora, it shouldn't be chal. So how is it bechal chal over here? So the Ran says that, oh no, it's talking about a case where the husband declared the neder before he actually did nisuin. Remember, if there's two stages, there's erisin and nisuin. First, we do all in one shot. We said this many times over at Mesechus Ksubos. We do all in one shot. We give the woman the ring. Hareas mekudesh be lebadzu kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. That is erisin. The woman is halachically married on a deraisa level. If the woman were to have relations with somebody else, she'd be chayav misa. However, in the times of the Gemara, they would wait a whole year to perform the nisuin, is really bringing her into the house, and the other stages of the husband inheriting or the chiyuv to support her, those only kicked in after nisuin. So the Ran suggests that he made this neder after erisin, but before nisuin. So since he made it after erisin, before nisuin, he wasn't chayav yet to support her. So that's why he's not obligated to support her. The neder is going to be chal, and therefore it's going to remain in effect even after nisuin. The Gemara seems to suggest that in Ksubis, if you remember, and the Gemara rejects that answer. So I don't know, it's a little difficult that the Ran gives us that answer, which is the Havmina Gemara Ksubis over there, but Lechora, not the way the Gemara is Maskana, is Tosos over here, and Dibra Maskal Tashma, and Ardaf, Tosos says, actually, the Lashon of Anah is Tashmishach Alai Im Tehenem Eshali, that he is a bailus over, that Anah and Tashmish on him, if you're Nehenem from you. So he's not allowed to give it to her because of his Neder, that he's not allowed to have relations with her, because he's answering the Hanan himself, not on her, and he's answering on himself, which is then the Neder is going to be Chal. That's the Gemara seemingly is Maskana over there. By the way, so we make a din over there that the halacha is that the husband is not allowed to, the wife is not allowed to derive benefit either. However, it's going to be Chal, either the Ran's answer, which is seemingly the Havamina in the Marek Subas, or the Tosos answer. We have a way that the Neder is Chal. Great. So the Neder is Chal, and he's not allowed to benefit. Not allowed to give her benefit. So what do you do? He has a chiyuv to support her. So what's the halacha? Love uvale choven ba'in v'nifraim. The halacha is she's allowed to borrow whatever she needs, and then the people who lent her the money are allowed to come and collect the debts from the husband. Again, even though it's usher for her to derive benefit from her husband, his obligation to support her is not canceled out. Therefore, she has a shibud on his property, and whenever she's borrowing for the sake of her support, then even without his das, she has the right to do this, and therefore they're able to collect against his will from his estate. That's going to be, the Rishonim point out, even according to Hanan, if you remember, in the very name of Maseches Ksubis, we had a machlokas between Hanan and Admon, I think it was over there, or Chachamim, or Bnei Kohen Gadolim, I forget exactly who the Shita was, were over there, that argues on him, that someone who voluntarily gives the wife financial assistance when the husband is gone, the lesson over there was al-Karanatzvi, like he's throwing away his money. He doesn't have the right to force his way and collect the money. That's only true, according to Hanan, the Rishonim points out, when he voluntarily does it. Over here, the woman asks to borrow money, then everybody would agree, even Hanan would agree, that the halach is that you're allowed to collect it back from the husband's estate. So what do we see over there? That since she's ushered to derive benefit from her husband, how is she allowed to take a loan in exchange for the husband to pay back? What do we see over here? This is an exchange. This is an exchange, and it's mutter. So the Gemara wants to bring a raya that lav mishum de chalufin lav kedurin adami. The lachor we see from over here, this is similar to a lach of an exchange. Ram points out, it's not mamish, a full-fledged exchange. When she's borrowing, she automatically activates the shibud that enables the people that she lent to be able to collect the money on the, that we're comparing it to an exchange. And we see over here the chalufin lav kedurin adami. We see over here that the reason it must be permitted is because things that are in exchange for an item that was a neder hana is not like the things that grow from them, and therefore it's mutter in this case. If we would have said that things are the gidulin are asin, so this case should have been usher. By borrowing against husband property, that should have been like an exchange, which should have been usher. The fact that it's mutter in that Mishnah is totally going to bring a raya for the shita that it says is lav ki gedulin dami. That's what the Gemara wants to bring a raya over here. You could ask a kasha. The Rashba's bothered that we learn that even if something receiving shin for an isra item is going to be permitted after the fact, certainly you're not allowed to do this lechatchila. So how is it that this case, even according to the one who says lav ki gedulin dami, how is this case going to be mutter at all? So the Rashba answers that since at the end of the day she's not directly meaning. To sell the orla, the shayla is what happens after, but everyone agrees it's asr lechachila. Or to exchange the orla, it's asr lechachila. So how is it over here is mutter? So the Rashba answers that since she doesn't directly exchange the isra item, meaning her husband's property is not directly being exchanged, she's getting money right now from a creditor who's giving her money. So that person then in turn is then going to go to the husband's property. So since it was indirect, that's not considered the case that we say is asr lechachila and the only shayla is bidyavit. Fine. So the Gemara says, Omar Rava. So maybe they're also the maybe when someone is making an exchange in the first place, then he's not allowed to derive benefit from the exchange item. The avid avid, but now the Gemara is coming out to the suggestion that if you in fact do it after the fact, b'dyavad means he already did it, so then he's already done it and permitted to derive benefit from what he had done, the exchange after that. So then, when you're directly exchanging an itzer item for something else, you normally have a knas, a penalty, that you're not allowed to have benefit from that or what you machlifer. But when the woman takes a loan or against her husband's property, this is going to be an indirect exchange, and therefore it's going to be considered something which she is allowed to do. We're using the lashon of bidyevet that it's done, but not that you're not allowed to. Here is a case of bidyevet; she's stuck. So therefore, it is mutter for specifically in that case. So we don't have a raya from that very mishnah. Fine, ela tashma. Let's bring a proof from another mishnah. This mishnah is in kiddushin. Amekadesh beorla. Someone wants to ram a kodeshali with this fruits of orla. Orla is asabrana. So therefore, what is orla? Orla is the first 3 years of a fruit tree. The Torah asks is driving any benefit from it in Eretz Yisrael. It's a an Isra D'Oraisa of orla. And a mekudeshes. So she's not, she's even a chutzlaretz. That's a shayla, how it works. Okay, but not for now. But in that's the halacha of Moshe Messina. Maybe it's a suffix orla. Fine. Either way, any mekudeshes. She's not there. Again, a guy takes the fruits in the first 3 years, which is usher to have any benefit from, and he's mekadesh her. Halacha is, since he's not giving her anything of value, it's not a shavet fruta, she is not mekudeshes. Machron v'kidesh b'demayim. However, if he sold the orla fruits, b'isr, and then he was mekadesh her with the money he received for them, areza mekudeshes, halacha is, she is mekudeshes. We see that over here, someone is permitted to derive benefit from something which he receives in exchange for an isr item. The fact that the Gemara is assuming that one would be forbidden to derive benefit from the exchange item, then the exchange item also should be usher for him to derive benefit and give her, and she'll also be worthless. So therefore, the what thing you exchange for the orla should have been usher as a secondary item, and that would be usher based on our halacha over here. Midrabanan, it should be also that there is no kiddushin. So the Gemara says, no, we resolve this answer by saying that a hachanami also the chachilu udelo be avid avad. That here, in the first place, the one is not allowed to derive benefit from this item. However, if you did it, then the kiddushin is going to be chal. So it's important to note, actually, the Chachamim point this out, that the lashonos over here are different. When we say lechachilu d'la'avid, that case over there was a case of bidyevin, and the woman is allowed to do it. Here, we're telling it that the husband is not allowed to do such a thing, and he really is not supposed to be mekadesher with this money, and if he did, okay, then it's going to be chal. It's a difference in halacha. That if the husband would come and ask us, now I've already exchanged it, can I now be mekadesh the woman with this thing that I exchanged it for, with the money, whatever I got for it, we would tell him, 100% not. As opposed to the woman in the previous case where she says, listen, I need mizonos, am I allowed to then borrow money knowing that they're going to collect from my husband's estate? We would tell her, absolutely, you can. So it's important that the Avid Avid is actually differently halakhically in here. So basically the maskana, what comes out is actually we don't have an answer. We don't actually have a maskana what exactly the din is going to be. So the Ran points out that lachora, we have a din derabanan. And it's very nice. The Ran always gives you the maskana sadvarim. The Ran is a long arichas. People like it for daf yomi. Also, the dapim are shorter because the Ran takes over. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, Rav Shach always quoted that they don't need that you don't need me when it comes to nedarim. They need for his lamdas and everything else. I'm saying, but he used to say the Ran is the Rosh Hashiva. He's the lamdan. He's giving the chakiras. He's giving the maskana. He's giving halacha lamaisa. You don't need me. Just read the Ran on nedarim. Anyway, so the Ran over here also is discussing halacha lamaisa. What's going on? So he says that this is a safek rabbanan lekula. We're going to treat it leniently. So therefore, someone who does this and he asks it and he takes something which like orla, then you're allowed to derive benefit from the exchange item. Again, the exception would be if a person declares specific fruits, asr himself by konim, that would be like the Mishnah's case. That's like hekdesh himself, which definitely go weiter and are asring it. Very good. That is the Gemara. Let's go weiter. The Mishnah says, Hareini alecha chirim. Someone says, I am a chirim towards you. So the chirim usually is, we actually point out, this can be two different lashonos. Chirim either means that I'm asr just like the Isser Hekdesh, or maybe it's a reference to property which were donated to Kohanim. Right, the Mishnah had a question: when that, which one, what is it? The Nafkamina, the Mishnah, if you remember, Daf in Chesam Beis, that in the Eretz Yehuda, which had a large percentage of Kohanim, then it's going to be Cherem is like the Cherem of Kohanim in Galil, as the Cherem of the understood as Hekdesh, which we had Nafkamina, they're fine. So either way, Cherem towards you is going to be a neder. That's going to be Hamudar Asr, that the Halacha is the person to whom the neder was, is going to be also derived benefit from the person who declared the neder. Fine. However, if one declared the neder, then you're allowed to, I'm allowed to derive benefit from you, just I made it that you're asr to me. Haret are at alai cherem, if you're a cherem towards me, then I know the asr halacha is that the person who is, you make the, Reuven makes it to Shimon, Shimon is asr to derive benefit to, sorry, the Reuven is asr to derive benefit from Shimon. Hareni alecha, ve'at alai, if a person says, I am cherem towards you, and you are towards me, then the halacha shneim asurim, based on this guy's neder, he's asuring it to him, to him, Reuven is asuring Shimon to have benefit from him, and also him to have benefit from Reuven. Very good. So now, the halacha now discusses what happens to things, if you make these turn halachas, what's going to be with different properties that are going to be generally communal properties over here. If you have things, we're going to see, like things that are Ole Bavel, the cistern, and the things that used to come up and use, which are considered property of the whole Olam, are they going to usher that or not? So the Gemara says, Ashneim mutarim b'davar shal Ole Bavel. Here, that we see that you're allowed to derive things which are Ole Bavel, meaning the Mishnah is going to explain that they basically are hefker for everybody. It's not communally owned, because then you would be allowed to sell. You're not allowed to do that. Really, it's like hefker, but no one's allowed to claim it, but it's considered the everybody's, but nobody's. It's, therefore, they're allowed to both use that. Basrum b'davar shal Osa, however, things which are the town, community things, which the Mishnah is going to list, a shul and things like the like, that since eventually they are allowed to sell it and it is the bailus of everybody in the town, then it's usher, there are also derived benefit because it's considered that the other person has a chelik in it. As the Mishnah is about to define. Ve'ezu davar shel ole bavel, what are considered things which are ole bavel? Kigon harabayis v'azoros v'abor v'shem tzaderech. When the people used to come up, so obviously the area, the whole harabayis, the whole area of where the Beis HaMikdash was standing, the whole Temple Mount translated, right? And the courtyards of the Beis HaMikdash, and the cisterns in the middle of the road, the boros, those are considered property of everybody but nobody. I mean, again, because they wanted them to be able to drink them when they come into the Sholosh Regalim, and therefore, so they're considered property, it's actually a shaila, actually, how this works, but betzim, they're considered property of nobody, so therefore, it's like ke'ilu, you're getting it from hefker. Now again, the difference of hefker is, if it's something that's mamish hefker, then I'm allowed to be tokone for myself and not give it to anybody. That's the point. No, it's still not allowed to be anybody else's, but still it's nobody. It's a fascinating gather what exactly this is. Now, ve'ezu davar shalosa yer, what is considered something of that town? Kegon archava v'amercha, so basic neses v'ateva v'asfarim. The lacha is the property of the town square, the bathhouse, or the shul, or the aron and the sfarim. So the aron in which, right, the aron where you have the Sefer Torah, we call an aron bizman is there, right, the aron kodesh, and the sfarim that are purchased from communal funds. So now, lachora, this is a very big question. The Rashba points out that one cannot aser sifrei kodesh on his friend because that would be asering him to the right benefit from a mitzvah. And the concept is mitzvahs lav le'enos ninu, and therefore you're not allowed to make that. So lachora, Rashba's girsa did not have the words vasfarim as we do in our Mishnah. But the point is, well, that's a very good point that Rashba's making, how is it that we're going to defend our girsa? So Rav Avraham Minahar explains very nicely, a very beautiful idea about learning Torah in general, the concept of mitzvahs lav le'enos means that performance of a mitzvah in itself is not considered a benefit that can be ushered by a neder. The reason is that one performing it intends to do Hashem's will and not to derive personal benefit. However, if a person does derive benefit from an iser chevtza while doing a mitzvah, like a person who asers himself from getting enough from a spring or something like that, and he has to go in when he's tumah vatara, and he's going in for tumah during the summer when he's going to get enough from it, that is considered hanah from the water, which is going to be a violation of your neder. Not allowed to do that. So similarly, says the Rav Avraham Minahar very beautifully, when you learn Torah, there also is a tremendous hana that a person gets. Mirtz Hashem, we all should have this from the Daf Yomi and from the learning. Bikudi Hashem Yisharim Esamchei Lev, he says. Right? That's why it's usher. You don't realize this. Why is it usher for an Avel and a person, Rechmel Atzlan, sitting Shiva, or a person to also a person and Tisha B'Av for all of Klal Yisrael? We don't learn. Because this is halacha, because it gives us simcha. It gives us simcha. So therefore, the mitzvah of learning Torah, yes, it's a mitzvah by Be'etzem, but if you learn it, mimeder, it's going to have simcha, so then that's going to be something which is giving him personal benefit, and that's why over here, our Mishnah tells you, it's usher to give him these things to use, because he's deriving an incidental benefit, which is the simcha of simcha shel Torah. Beautiful idea. Okay, Be'ez Hashem will pick up Kosov Chelko, Lenasi, Emir Tashem, in tomorrow's daf, B'siyata Dishmaya.